Come on up for the rising. Come on up. Lay your hand in.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Sermon Archive. We hope you're blessed by today's sermon. For more information about the Rising, or to find more sermons like this, please visit therisingcommunity.com.
Can I hear somebody say amen? All right, I heard that. Okay, all right. No hesitation on that. Just a quick update on my status. I'm still dealing with very severe swelling and enlargement of the tissue and organs in my abdomen, and I can't really move around too much because of the chance of a rupture, because the swelling and enlargement is so severe. And so they are now looking for, through more testing, for some underlying diseases that could be causing this. But if we can get the swelling and enlargement to begin to reduce, I'll be out of danger and I'll be able to be back with you in person. So I really covet your prayers for that as we continue down this road. Amen? I hear you, Ray. All right, well, let's get right to the message. As I was preparing this message, it turned into about an hour and a half message, so I had to cut it into two messages. So part two of this message will be on May the 3rd, because I have something else in my spirit for next week. So if you would you open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 16? Matthew chapter 16. Let me get my Bible in front of me. I want to read verses 13 through 18, and I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 18. Are you there? All right, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Can you say amen? Now I want you to understand, church, from this passage, that God was looking for something in Peter. And Peter had it. Peter was God's diamond. And it's amazing how much garbage can be around a diamond. Even if a diamond is stuck in the mud, or you find it in the dirt, or it's laying on the rocks, even if a diamond is stuck in the mud, it is still valuable. It's just entrenched in garbage. And Peter was God's man. He was God's diamond. He was the one that God was to use, but he had a lot of trash around him. And we have to be careful, church. We have to be careful even when we deal with one another, because sometimes the treasure is in the trash. The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. And I want you to know that no matter how much trash the treasure is in, it does not take away from the value of the treasure. Did you hear what I said? I said that it does not take away from the value of the treasure. I want you to know that no matter how much trash the treasure is in, it does not take away from the value of the treasure. A diamond is a diamond, even if it's covered with mud. Or even if it's thrown away in the cabinet, it is still a diamond. You just need to take it and clean it so you can appreciate the beauty that's there. And listen, that's what God does with our lives. He picks the treasure out of the trash. And some of the trash we are surrounded with, we don't even know it's trash until we have more of an awareness of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. When the Bible tells us that Jesus is the light of the world, well, that light, church, it manifests hidden trash. He shows us the refuge in our lives that didn't show up when we just hung around with people that didn't have enough light to shine down on who we really are. And sometimes there's a whole lot of trash and a little treasure. And see, there can be a whole lot of fleshly mess around the treasure. And it's just not fleshly trash around the treasure. Yes, it is, but it's just not fleshly trash. Sometimes it is spiritual trash. And sometimes even the way we've been trained and taught has caused there to be trash around the treasure. Sometimes there's a whole lot of religious trash around the treasure. And so it was with Peter. Listen, that he had been trained, Peter had been trained, but he had been trained wrong. And he had to be broken and made all over again. He had to be put back on the potter's wheel. And many of us with all our traditions and religious philosophies, we have been trained, but we have to be broken and remade again, because many times religion has trained us into this gross, mutated, misconstructed, all your concepts and premises and your framework is way off, and you won't even know it. You won't even know it, and you have to be made all over again. And it's painful. It's a painful process to be made all over again, to be broken and corrected. It's a painful process. A doctor will tell you that when a broken bone is set wrong, it can be set in place and crooked. And in order to fix that broken bone, because it was set wrong and set crooked, in order to fix it, you have to break it again and reset it to correct it. How painful that is. So painful when you think something is right, but it's wrong and it has to be rebroken and reset and remade again. Peter was that kind of man. He had to be broken and remade again. And Jesus, in this text, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples began to recite all the things that people were saying. All the things. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some others say you're Jeremiah. Others say you're one of the other prophets. And then he asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the true and living God." I mean, church, he astonished his teacher. One of the few times, this is one of the few times in Scripture that Jesus was just shocked by an answer. He just looked at Peter. "Reveal this unto you, but rather Jesus." He said, "Ooh, Peter, you got a word from the Father without it even coming through me." And that is so important, church. That is what is so important. All that other stuff about Peter is not all that important. Yes, Peter, you're a hothead. Yes, Peter, you talk too much. You got a loose mouth. And Peter, you cuss. You cuss people out, Peter. But you got one thing going for you, Peter. You can hear the Father, and I'm going to use you. See, even though Peter kept messing up stuff, Peter kept killing people, Peter cut people's ears off, and Jesus had to keep healing people after he got through beating them up. And that's right, you're a rebel, Peter, and you're a rebel, but I can use you, Peter, because you can hear God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven. You have heard the voice of God, and I can use you despite all that other stuff. Listen, church. Listen to me, church. I would rather have some trash and have the treasure being able to hear God than have all the talent and all the Pharisees and all the religious mindsets that are deaf to the voice of God. He says, Peter, what you have just heard from the Father, the revelation that you just got, Peter, that is the rock, Peter. That is what I'm going to build my church on, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock, upon this ability to hear God, because no matter what's wrong with you, Peter, if you can hear God, things can get straightened out. Mindsets can be straightened out. Some issues can be straightened out. Some things can go in a different direction. He says, upon this revelation knowledge you have, Peter, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church, my ecclesia, my called out ones. So he tells Peter, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. He says, I'm going to use you, Peter, to do it. I'm going to use you to do it, Peter, not because you are right, but because you can hear me. Can you say amen? So he tells Peter, I'm going to build my church. Now, what is the church? What is the church? Well, you don't know yet, Peter. You're going to know later, but you don't even understand what I'm building yet, Peter. As you follow me, you'll know what my church is, but I'm going to build it upon the rock. Against it. You know, church, after all these years, many people in the church still do not understand the church. Many people in our society think that the church is a place to just come for social functions. And yes, we do have social functions. No question. We do have social functions. Many people in our society today think the church is just a place for social functions. And we basically think it's like the Moose's Lodge or the Elks Club. And we vote on everything, talk about everything. We have amendments and constitutions, and we go through all our judicial processes and legalities just like all other organizations. And yes, that is true. We do some of the things like other organizations, because we're in the process right now of writing a new constitution and redoing our organization and restructuring our leadership. So we, like other organizations, do some of those things. But the church is also a living organism. And that is not like other organizations. Now, we have so many divisions and denominational breakdowns because we don't understand the church. Now, listen to me. There are phrases that we use that are so diabolically opposed to what the church is. Phrases like white church and black church, or you're going to a black church, or you're going to a white church, you're going to a rich church, you're going to a poor church. All of these statements mean we don't understand the church. Because if you understood what the church word church meant, you could never put white or black in front of it or any color in front of it. You can't put any distinction in class in front of the word church. If you do, you don't understand the church. Amen? back in, I think it was 2011, when I was on my vacation that summer, I was speaking at some other places over my vacation. And one of those places I did was speaking at a, I was invited to speak at a conference, a Holy Spirit conference in New York. And I was invited to do a workshop at that conference. I was ministering in New York at this conference, and a lady ran up to me after the workshop, and I mean, she was just so excited, and I mean, she said this to me because I was white. But she said she was so excited, and she said, "When I get back home, Pastor, I'm going to go to a white church." What? I'm like, and listen, I know she was trying to be nice, but I stood there thinking that I didn't know what to say to her because I don't go to a white church. And I didn't know what to say. I was thinking, look, I don't go to a white church. And I didn't know why she wanted to go to one either. And I know she would listen. I know she was trying to tell me something good. But I also knew that she didn't understand the word church. Because listen, you can never use a discriminatory term and then say church and make it fit. Not black, not white, not rich, not poor, nothing that discriminates one group from another and then tie it to the church and call it right. That's not the church. That's not what he came to build. Now, that's what men are building, but God never came to build that. You cannot tie race and church together. And I know this because I've spoken to them. There are some great thinkers who I respect and some people who would be highly critical of that statement that you cannot tie race and church together. But I must say to you this morning that the whole concept of church destroys racial connotations. And I believe with all my heart that the rising, this church is called to be living proof of that. The whole definition of the church disputes distinctions of races, and it causes one new created species to come into the earth. And it's not black or white or rich or poor or Jew or Greek or bond or free or male or female, but we have become one, fused together in Christ Jesus. It's God's unique design, and the world will never be able to do it. Never. We will never be able to come together and blend our different sociological, physiological, emotional changes. We will never be able to homogenize or blend them anyplace else but through the blood of Jesus Christ and the finished work of Christ. We're not going to be able to work it out in the White House. We're not going to be able to work it out in the voting booth. We're not going to be able to work it out in the Senate. We will never be able to work it out through any other authority other than God. And it becomes, listen. It becomes a sign to the world that God is really there when you can see men from every nation come together. Because the only way we could come together is through Jesus Christ. And whenever you see us come together like that, listen, it is the church. It is the church. It is what he died to build. It's what he died to build. He didn't die to build prejudice. He died to tear it down. And I'm talking about any kind of prejudice. He died to tear it down. And what God wants to do is renew us to the point that we become a new creation. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. That means that the church church is a new species. We're not the same old sect of the old species. We're not a group or a department or an existing institution. We are part of a completely new species. In fact, when God gets ready to describe the church, he actually refers to the creation. He says in the scripture, God who has commanded the light to shine in darkness, sounds like creation, has caused the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to shine in your heart. He literally says, let there be light. Oh, created you in. He drew you up out of the mud and the muck and the mire, and he breathed upon you, just like he breathed upon Adam, and he caused you to bring forth a righteousness that you didn't have before. He separated your darkness from light and caused you to have a solidarity and stability and caused you to be inhabited with the fruits and the joy of the Spirit, and you are a new creation. Nobody will be able to build the church but God. Listen, and we see it all over. We see it all over the church world. You can build great towers of Babel. You can build that on your own. You can build that on your own. Listen, I used to preach some messages and some particular theology before you guys even knew me. That if I preached that stuff now, if I was able to preach that stuff now, we'd probably have 100 more people come in this church in the next 6 months. But those messages and that particular theology are based on a false framework and false premises, and they're very popular in the body of Christ today, and I used to preach them verbatim, and I was good at it, and they are so popular in the body of Christ today. And they are so far removed from the Jesus I know today and from the way I see and interpret and study the scriptures. But I could preach those messages, listen, good enough and with enough charisma and with enough skill that if word got out that we were preaching this, it would draw a lot of people here. And we could build our own Tower of Babel. But listen, I want to build a church. I want to build a church. I want to build a place that is centered on the finished work of Christ. I want to build a body, a family, a biblical community. I want to build a spiritual hospital. I want to build a place that we can explore theology together. I want to build a place free of racism and classism and genderism. I want to build a place with purpose and vision. I want to build people. I want to build a church. Amen. Here, sitting in my living room, I need to calm myself down. Jesus said, I will build my church, and I'm going to do it through you, Peter. But Peter, you're not ready, because Peter, you're prejudiced. And Peter, you got hang up. And see, it wasn't black and white back then, and it's not black and white everywhere. Somewhere else, it's Chinese and Indians. Somewhere else, it's Germans and Jews. Church, we got all kinds of reasons to fall out with each other. And back in Bible times, it was Jew and Greek. And he says, Peter, you got some hang-ups too. But I'm going to use you. Not because you don't have hang-ups, Peter, but because you can hear God. And if you can hear God, no matter how hung up you are by your traditions, I can funnel information to you and I can straighten out your sick mind if you can hear God. Peter, he was trained and he was well prepared for Judaism. He was well influenced for Judaism. But God was not building Judaism. He was not building another religion. He was building the church. And he began to challenge Peter because he would send Peter to minister in an area where Peter was not accustomed to going. He challenged his limitations. And sometimes, I want you to listen to me, sometimes that's what God will do with us. He will challenge our limitations and intentionally set us in situations where we are not completely comfortable. And through those situations, they enlarge us and cause us to grow, because God is not interested in building what men build. He says, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. And what is the church? The church is like this bouquet. And it's going to take all types of flowers and all types of colors. And we're going to pick some from here and some from there and some from here. And we're going to tie them together through the blood of the Lamb, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. They will be tied together. And it's going to be beautiful. If you're a rose who has to just be amongst other roses, he says, I'm going to challenge you, because I'm going to put a rose and a dandelion side by side, and I'm going to tie you together, and you're going to be knit together, and the thing that you're going to have in common is the blood of the Lamb. And when people look on you, they're going to say, well, how can you guys be together? You didn't grow up together. No, we didn't grow up together. We were called together. We were washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified and brought together for God's eternal purpose. Amen? People are going to say, what is this thing you're doing? It's the church. Well, what kind of church is it? Well, there is no kind of church. There's just the church. To say there's a kind of church implies that there are other churches. There's only one church. And Jesus said, upon this rock, upon the revelation of Christ that Peter had of who I am, upon that rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If there is any place on earth where the problems of racism, classism, and genderism are ever going to be resolved, it's only going to be resolved through the blood of Jesus and the finished work of Christ. And that place is the church. After all the progress we've made in America, I mean, I've watched 6 months of constant Christian television, many on 4 different networks. I don't even want to comment. I'm not going to comment on it. I'll say that another time. What I've seen and what I've experienced, and a lot of it was good. Don't get me wrong. But after all the progress we've made in America, still, there's never a more segregated time than on Sunday morning. Still. But when I read Revelation 7, chapter 9, the true church that was gathered before the throne of God was from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, and knows no cultural, ethnic, and denominational lines. So I'm going to tell you one of the current missions of the Rising is to be the great melting pot of God's people, desegregated and united under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's why we teach the grace and love of God. Because if you don't understand the depths and dimensions of the grace of God, if you don't understand or have some understanding of the height, the depth, the width, the length of the love of God, this will never happen on any significant level. It might be on a superficial level. Many places have that. But not on a significant heart level. Now, you've got to understand
that if God builds the church, he said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when we start talking about the gates of hell, we start thinking about being in a fight with the enemy. But have you ever seen anybody fighting with a gate? If you do, call the psych ward right away. The gate is not something you fight with. Watch. The purpose of a gate is to keep something in or out. And what God is saying, that right at the point of the church's strength, the gates of hell are going to come against it. But he said, don't be intimidated, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against what I build. And listen, one of the gates of hell that divides the body of Christ is the gate that is sent to keep us from cross-pollinating with one another. And God says to Peter, I'm going to use you to accomplish this because you can hear God. Not because you understand what I'm doing, Peter, because you don't even really know what I'm building right now. But don't worry about that, Peter, because I'm going to channel you information when the time comes. So, church, we're going to pick up in part two of this series what happened with Peter in Acts chapter 10, and how God used Peter and a Gentile man named Cornelius to tear down this gate. And we're going to go into that in part two. Now listen to me, because I want to close today with this. Because since I've been gone, I've heard some funky things about words being given. Are you with me? And I want to say something about that, because whenever God gets ready to come against the gates, as we're going to see in part two in Acts chapter 10, whenever he gets ready to come against the gates, he's got to deal with both sides, because there are hang-ups on both sides. And listen to me, God will not send you to anybody who he has not prepared for you. You get that? And you need to know that in every area of your life, whether you're talking about a spouse or a companion or a friend or a ministry. And I've heard some funny things going on. If God gives you a word for me, listen, he will prepare me for that word. If God has somebody give you a word, he is going to prepare you for that word. If God told you that I was your husband, then he's going to tell me. Quit being moved by one-sided revelation. God is a balanced God. And whenever he does it on this side, he does it on the other side. If you go back to the Old Testament, he told Sarah some revelation knowledge that was going to affect their house. And then he told Abraham to hearken unto the voice of his wife. He balanced it. We may not get it at the same time, but we will get it as we go on in our walk with God. He will not cause you to give me a word or a prophecy, or will not cause somebody to give you a word or a prophecy that is completely foreign to your spirit. But he'll prepare your heart and your mind so that something within you is going to bear witness as to what they're saying. And I say to you today that if somebody brings you a word from God, and it does not bear witness in your own spirit, lay it aside. Lay it aside. And don't be afraid to lay it aside, because if it is of God, it will stand. If it is of men, it will come to naught. So we are going to deal with Acts chapter 10 next week and see how Peter, or God dealt with Peter about the gates. Upon this rock, church, I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Can you say amen? Would you stand with me this morning? Stand with me, church. And before the music ministry just closes us in song this morning, before the music ministry closes us in song, if they would come back, I just want you as you're standing, could you repeat this after me? Just say this with me. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And we will be the body at the rising that breaks through the gates and becomes the model for the world to see. Our desire is to become the church that Christ died for. A great melting pot of God's people, free from racism, free from classism, free from genderism. And united under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've been blessed this morning, give God a good clap offering this morning. Let's close the song. God bless you. It's great to see all of you. Have a great Sunday, and I hope to see you soon. Amen.